Blog Talk Radio.
One, everything is going to be all right. You're listening to Tippy Talk. Time now to sit back, relax, listen, and enjoy the moment. Newborn is the official band that provides all the music for Tippy Talk. To hear more of the music, you can go to newbornband.com and enjoy the wonderful sound. And now it is time to step into the Tippy Zone, where we explore the other side of reality, the side that allows you to reshape your life, step into your power, and connect to the fact that we are all one. Welcome to Tippy Talk, where we go from where you are to where you want to be. I'm your host, Tippy Feldstein. Is Kristen Kislin, who is also a light worker. I love bringing people who are light workers and dedicated to bettering humanity by working individually with each one, one-on-one, and in maybe small groups. I think that basically our survival and the planet's survival depends on how many people are waking up to that kind of work. But I think also that it's a passion that comes from within us, and it's probably something that you've had your entire life. So talking about light workers and waking up, I'm really excited to announce my book is finally being launched. It's called Wake Up and Plant for Roses. And if you want to check it out, it is on Amazon, and it is at a 50% discount for the next 30 days. So I would suggest that you check it out now. I also have a special running with it. So if you do get it, let me know and I will tell you a bunch of super special things that you can do once you have it. And today, Kristen is going to take us one more step closer to that light and to that easier kind of life where we can deal with our fear and worry in a healthier in more productive way. So I'm very, very happy and really honored to have Kristen Kislin. Welcome to Tippy Talk, and thank you so much for joining us.
Well, Tippy, it's great to be back. I really appreciate the opportunity to share with you and collaborate with you, with the clear, conscious intention of helping people have some practical strategies and approaches for working their light.
Yes, I think that's happens to be right now, this moment, one of the most important things that we can do. But it's not something that you just started doing right now, this moment. From what I understand, you started going on this path when you were very, very young. You were like, 14 or 15 years old when you started?
Yeah, even before that, my mom was so smart. She took me to transcendental meditation classes when I was like 12 years old. And even before that, to yoga. Yeah, it's interesting that those little threads were being put in very early. And so throughout my life, I had the idea that this was a body, mind, spirit situation.
Wow. You know, we go through life and we don't realize that everything we do is a step towards where we want to be. And there's a reason for everything, even things that we don't have a clue about. So when you were growing up, can you describe the kind of environment that you grew up in, like trying to figure out what it is that made you the way you are today?
Oh, you know, that's a really good question. I'd say the main thing is there was a spirit of scientific and experiential inquiry. Like, okay, here's my ideas about things. I think both of my parents said, you know, this is what we believe or this is what we think, but we do want you to figure this out for yourself. And, you know, there's some hazards in that. I mean, I made some mistakes along the way, absolutely. But on the other hand, I feel that they really honored, you know, my inner light in that way. And, you know, believed that I had, you know, the ability to figure things out in a way that was going to be good for me and good for others. So that's something that I think I also, you know, really transmitted to my now adult child. You know, whenever she would share about her feelings or experience or perception, I was always really careful to validate that that was her experience. And, you know, it was interesting because I was talking to somebody else yesterday on a podcast, and the question was, you know, is this a good time to start a business, you know, during, you know, Rona? And my response was, if someone has the spark inside of themselves, if they feel motivated to do so, if there's something that's just, you know, exciting them or making them feel, you know, happy, or, you know, they have a passion to do something, when it's coming from, you know, deep inside of you and you just have this excitement about it, then yeah, this is a good time. Any time is a good time when you have something going on inside that's speaking to you.
I love that you call it Rona. I've never heard anybody doing that. I like that nickname. Like, I guess I would say call you Chris. People do that all the time, but I think I'm going to adopt that. It's going to be Rona from now on. and I think it's fantastic that you were able to figure out things for yourself growing up, because my upbringing was diametrically opposing to that, where the rules and the regulations were so rigid, there was no two ways about it. I did get to ask questions of why we do that, and they were very nice in answering it. And I think having a child be inquisitive is important, but there was no other way. There was no way of figuring it out myself. This is the way it is. This is why it is this way. Ask as many questions as you want. At the end of the day, this is how you're going to do it. So it's interesting to see someone coming from a completely different perspective. And I think, of course, always the best way is the middle way rather than one way or the other. You don't want to give a kid too much freedom, but you don't want to take away their ability to make decisions. So I think it's really a good dynamic that we have, is because we come from two totally different points, and we both kind of reached the point right here.
Isn't that interesting? Because maybe my situation, there was probably not quite enough structure, and in yours there was like too much structure.
Right. and you know, when you don't know anything differently, that's the way it is, and that's the way it's okay. But afterwards, when you look back at it, then you could see maybe too much of that, too little of that. And it's amazing. Life is just amazing. And so is Rona, and I'm going to ask you about that for a minute. But I have a quote from you that I really want to ask you about, because it's kind of getting my curiosity. You said that you grew up in a middle-class family that had a reasonable amount of material comfort, but suffered with symptoms of spiritual poverty. I love that you said that. And again, I would say for me, I came from a poor family that had no food to eat, but had an abundance of spirituality. So again, it's like the total other side, and it's amazing. So I want you to describe to me what that means to you and what that really means.
Okay. For me, you know, there was a glimmer of the creative spark. A lot of, you know, my family were entrepreneurs and creative and all that. But I think a lot of how they approached things was with a level of being driven, like a compulsivity about things, or, you know, a lack of balance or perspective, or, you know, the idea that things take time. You know, there just weren't, it was very intense. Everyone was so intense. And then, you know, in order to mitigate that, they would drink, because they had no yin. You know, it's like I tell people I was raised by three men, my mother, my father, and my grandmother.
The male energy, I get that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So the energy was so young. But then in order to kind of come down off of that, they would drink. And so that creates, you know, a lot of stuff, a lot of problems. And I, you know, it was kind of like a chaos, you know, I referred to the whole thing as a hive of bees, you know, because that's what it was like, you know, at a family gathering. It was like, you know, very buzzy energy, you know. and it was hard to get, you know, for me as a young person, it was hard to even like get a word in edgewise sometimes at a family gathering, because they would get so, you know, like a little, you know, alcohol sort of stretches people's who they are,
like a
house of mirrors, like a fun house. So then things become intensified and distorted. And, you know, I, for whatever reason, looked at all that and I was like, no, I don't think so. I don't believe this is going to be, you know, my life path. So, you know, that's grace, you know, why I was able to see that and say, no, I don't think that's what I'm going to choose was just a miracle, truly, because so many people who grow up in those environments they just go right into it. Even if intellectually they don't want to do it, they do it anyway. So.
Wow,
yeah,
that's pretty amazing.
Very
How old were you? How old were you when you made that kind of a decision saying, nah, not for me?
Well, when I was 12, I noticed I was smoking pot on the regular, and I said to myself, I said to myself, maybe this is not a good idea. And I just basically stopped doing it. You know, I was just like, you know, this is probably not a wise approach for me personally, thinking about and looking at, you know, what's around me. So then, you know, I played around with that a little bit during my lifetime, but it was never a thing. You know, I always just thought, you know, this is probably not a good idea to make this a regular part of my life.
Interesting. I love that you were able to look through that, which I think is really difficult for people. But at age 12 is when you realize that you're not connected, that you are a separate entity. So it does make sense that that's the time you would say, maybe not. Maybe you start thinking about it. That makes a lot of sense. And you were an only child, right?
I was, but I did have step siblings a couple of times. My mother married. My mother married someone, and I had two siblings with that. My father married someone and two siblings, but they both ended up ending those marriages. So out went the step siblings. Yeah. Mm.
That's very, to me, that's fascinating. You have no idea. Like I said, because I'm so diametrically opposed to you, not now, but growing up, it's like, how did you manage to survive that and still be here? You know?
That part was, it's sort of like, there were certain things that I liked really about having, especially one of the sets of siblings, you know, when we would all hang out, there were two girls that were younger than I was. So I got to be the big sister and I liked that. And in that environment, we did some family things that were fun and that I enjoyed, you know, playing games, going to Disney World, you know, watching the Sonny and Cher show, all that sort of family stuff, which was fun, you know, since normally I didn't have that. So that was good. The other set of siblings and I did not get along so well. And so when they exited the stage left, I wasn't so upset.
You know, they do say that reality is stranger than fiction. And if somebody really told the truth, nobody would probably believe them.
The story of all of the things through my early years was, it was pretty, you know, there was a lot of change and chaos and stuff like that. And, you know, when I look back, one of the things was I ended up going to a lot of different schools. So I had to learn really how to make friends and build connection and know how to adapt in an environment and see what was available there and what would make me happy there. So, you know, on the downside, I didn't get to build the longer term relationships or really get deeply into, you know, any particular hobby or club or something as I would have if I had been with the same group of people or whatever for many years. But on the other hand, you know, with the amount of change that we now are experiencing and sort of the amount of change that a lot of people have had to deal with through their careers, you know, in my generation, I was well prepared for what I needed to do as an adult, really, by having more change rather than less.
Yes, I think that's something that's such a powerful skill that we really don't appreciate while it's happening. But afterwards, like, yeah, my adaptability is amazing. So before we go to Tibet, I wanted to get your opinion on what is going on right now with Rona. How do you feel about it? What do you think is really happening behind the obvious?
Right. Well, what's interesting to me is that the indigenous, the first cultures, you know, like in Canada, the First Nations in Canada and some of the other indigenous groups had in their, you know, in their mythic folklore or their visionary quest, people saw this coming. They knew this was going to happen. So, you know, it wasn't like completely off the radar screen for some types of people. And even within my own personal group of intuitives, there's someone in my group who was telling me last year, get ready, get ready, get ready, because people are going to need us. And, you know, that's the truth. I had the busiest week I've ever had in my business last week. It was, you know, and I haven't even been out in public, I haven't, you know, because we haven't been doing any intuitive fairs or that kind of thing. So it's true. People are now saying, okay, this feels very uncomfortable. There's a lot of ambiguity. How do I navigate these waters? So, you know, the way I approach most things, which is informed really by the Buddhism, is not so much asking questions about it conceptually, like, you know, how did we get here? What does this mean? More like, what is my response? What is my place in this? My questions to myself are, you know, how can I be of service? You know, where can I offer, you know, what I have to offer that's going to make a difference for people? You know, how can I make that available to them in ways that are manageable at this time? So, you know, it's so much what we focus on is creating positive effects. You know, whatever effects are going on, that's already at play, and there's nothing we can do about a lot of those things. But the focus would be on, you know, what can I do both for myself and for others now that this is what we're living with?
I think that's a very healthy and good approach for everyone. You know, if everyone just looked at the situation and said, how can I be of service or what can I do? I think things would be so much smoother and so much more beautiful. And in 1978 or 79, and I was in high school, I was told this was going to happen. And now I'm giving away my age, but I don't care. I earned it. But I was told it was going to happen. And even though part of my brain was like, yeah, it's possible, the other part of my brain is, I'm going to believe it when I see it. And that was the first time I was told about it. And then throughout the years, I knew this was going to happen. It's just different when you know it's going to happen and when it's actually happening. It's like when you see someone that's very sick and dying, and you know they're not going to last very long, they're going to pass away soon, it's still a lot different than how you feel when they actually pass away. The actual
reality. Thinking about something happening versus experiencing it is very different indeed.
Right. So even though they knew, and some people did, unfortunately I did too, it doesn't really mean that you're prepared. You might think you are, but not prepared. But I love the way you're handling it. So let's go to Tibet for a minute. I know that you have been there, and a lot
No, I actually have not been to Tibet. I have not been to Tibet, no.
So were you
But my teachers,
retreat?
My teachers are Vajrayana style teachers, which is most people know that the style of Buddhism as Tibetan Buddhism, but it's actually the formal name is Vajrayana, because it's also in Sikkim, India, and Bhutan. So it's not native to Tibet, but really, you know, the political cause when the Chinese invaded, you know, put Tibet, you know, on the forefront. So that's where most people identify the style of Buddhism, you know, with Tibet rather than the other places where the same style of Buddhism is practiced.
So did you ever go to a Buddhist retreat? Out of the United States?
I actually have done two long-term retreats. It's traditional in our lineage to do a three-month, and three-day retreat. And I actually have lived on campus in a Buddhist center two times for 3 years and 3 months. And during that time, I was not focused, you know, so much on the world, but more on the practice and, you know, doing what I needed to do to support my life. So I would still work and stuff like that, but especially during the first retreat, which was before my child was born, I was really focused on counting many, many recitations of certain mantras and prayers. And that's how we build like a foundation for our practice going forward.
So you were in a retreat, but it was within the United States? That's what you're saying?
Yes. Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So you were still
Yeah, because my teachers actually live in the United States. Born in Sikkim and Bhutan, but live in the United States. And three of them were born in the United States. Their mother was born in Sikkim and the grandmother in Bhutan. So they have, you know, they have both cultures. They have the traditional culture as well and language as well as, you know, the U.S. culture.
So do you consider yourself a Buddhist?
It would be better to say I practice Buddhism. That would be an actually higher thing to say, to the best of my ability.
Yeah, but to us people, it's actually the same. If you practice it, then I guess you are it. And I can see the difference of what you're saying. That, but it's in any religion. I mean, are you a Christian? No, I just practice Christianity. So does that make you a Christian? Well, yeah, if you practice it, I guess it kind of does, right?
It's like a sign, sealed, and delivered. It's like you're never signed, sealed, and delivered. You know, you're always hopefully engaged in. And I don't like to try to be so defined because sometimes people have preconceived ideas about what that means, you know.
Yes.
And
yes.
I really mostly, like when I'm working with people or meeting new people, I try to just bring my best self to the table. And if they're interested in that part of my life, I'm more than happy to share it. But it's, you know, it's not like a, it's not a real light version.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, most people are, you know, more interested in something. I mean, I am using mindfulness, basic mindfulness, with the clients that I work with. And I will say, just within the last few weeks, I've had a real breakthrough with one of my clients because she's now able to really see when she's thinking negative things so much better than she had been. And she's suffered from depression for a very long time. And I really felt like she's her baseline, where she starts on a given day, not that you don't go up and down, but I could tell that the bottom of that had come up just within a matter of, you know, about three sessions. Yeah.
Wow,
and it's rewarding. You know, I felt it and I said, you know, I asked her, I called her name. I said, do you feel that the bottom of how you feel has come up some? And she said, yes, I do. And, you know, that was through, you know, a combination of work that we did. We did some theta healing and then the mindfulness and just, you know, different intuitive coaching. I have a little system that I created that helps me kind of tell where people are from session to session when I work with them. And, you know, honestly, that makes my week. You know, I'm still happy. That was a week and a half ago, and I'm still happy from that. You know, I'm still like, yes. You know, she's had it her entire life. You know, and for us to be able to move that, you know, move that bottom up just a little bit, you know, now she can see from a different vantage point. Now she can look around from a different view and experience something different and have whole different possibilities for her life and for the lives of the people that she touches in her consciousness. So, you know, to me, that's why I show up every day.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. That's exactly why you do what you do, is for those little moments of triumph where people actually are able to feel a little bit better or have some success in what they do. That's fantastic. So what exactly do you do? Explain that to us.
You know, it's sort of what the work I'm doing now is an amalgamation of everything that I've learned professionally and personally and through my spiritual practice over 30 years. So, you know, I can try to describe it the best I can. And I've created a little system that sort of expands body, mind, spirit into five categories. So people can learn to observe themselves and perceive into reality with a slightly finer grain than they might be. You know, a lot of people are mostly just even functioning in mental and physical. You know, they're not even reaching into spiritual. If they're already in spiritual, mental, physical, spiritual, I'm going to take them further into more subtle levels and then also bring them back to their body. So, you know, some people are disconnected. It's sort of like you have to have all these different points are serving each other. And if any of these points in the five, you know, get out of whack, it affects the other ones. So, you know, the trick with life is balance, but it's not balance like a scale being perfectly balanced straight across. It's what I would refer to as dynamic equilibrium, where, you know, the different areas may be a little up, maybe a little down, but if your scales aren't going clang, clang, because things are going, you know, in too far into the extremes, then you're doing well. And if you can kind of keep yourself in those middle zones, like you were talking about earlier in the show, things will naturally flow well. We don't have to necessarily, like you said, make life can be easier. We don't necessarily have to work so hard because the natural world and the natural energy of the universe wants to support life. So as long as we're not blocking that or stepping out of that in some way, it's going to occur naturally. And so I use a variety of different techniques. I use the intuitive, you know, tools that I have. I'm a theta healer. And then I have this little, you know, personal system that I've created that also, you know, brings in the body. Because if your body... You know, that's the energy that is the most dense energy that we're experiencing here, you know, in the total 3D plane. So we want to use that as a barometer for what's going on at the more subtle levels. But it's hard to fine-tune the subtle levels if things are out of whack at the level of body. So, and I learned that from working with children with special needs. Early in my career, in fact, in New York, I worked out in Sullivan County. And it was when the American with Disabilities Act had come through and we were being asked to serve special needs kids in the least restrictive environment. So instead of sending them to like a CP center where everyone had a disability, if they had just maybe a speech issue, they would just go to, you know, Becky's Pumpkin Daycare and then the speech therapist would meet them there. And what they found out through research is that a classroom can accommodate up to 10% special needs children without the, you know, standard deviation for normal being thrown off at all. It doesn't affect the growth and development of the other kids that are in the normal range. So long story short, you know, when something's out of whack physically, when we would check these little kids out, you know, if they had lead poisoning, if they had, you know, if they were tongue-tied, you know, there were certain things that were at a, you know, very, you know, strong level that needed to be corrected before we could move forward with helping them with their psychosocial development or their emotional development, you know, their cognitive development. You know, you have to start at the most, you know, significant things, and then you can work your way down. Now, that's, I'm talking about that in a linear way, but it sort of works in a circle also. So when I work with people, if there's anything that's kind of off in any of the different areas, then it's going to affect everything else around the circle. And so each time I meet with a client, I will look into those using intuitive means and conversation to see what's going on in those different areas. And then we can kind of zero in on, you know, where the opportunities for growth, change, and development, you know, can be found.
Interesting. So I invited Susan to join us to see if maybe you can show us a little bit of what you do, but I would have to know if Susan wants to actually try it. But so Susan, if you are listening, you have to link into the link that I send you into the studio, and you can text me. I opened up the chat box, and you can text me in the chat box and let me know if you might have a question for Kristen or if you willing to do this. We'll do a 5-minute thing. So I'll give you about 2-3 minutes to do that. Because I think when you describe that, Kristen, it's it sounds really great, but it also is vague and not that clear for people who don't really understand. I understand exactly what you're saying because I've gone through it with you and I experienced it. And I also know you. I know so much more about you. But I think for someone that hears it for the first time, it's kind of hard to
understand. Get your head around. Yeah, I understand that. Yeah, that's fine.
Right.
I'm excited.
Right.
It's great to be able to communicate to people in a clear way. So what I'm going to do first here is I'll use the intuitive tool. So we'll just I'm feeling like Susan is your guest name that you invited to come.
Yeah, and I think she's listening, but she might have problems logging into the chat room. So we'll just assume that she's listening.
Okay. All right. So we'll wait for just a second for her. So just to speak to the process, generally what happens is, like, when I first meet someone, I might just be doing work with them, like, as an intuitive reader. And I might meet them at an intuitive fair, or I'm doing a fortune fair online right now, of course, because we have been social distancing. And then, you know, usually when I work with people, I am always encouraging them to use their own intuition and wisdom. You know, I'm totally excited to, you know, help people tap into what they are perceiving directly. Maybe that's because, you know, I'm honoring the tradition that, you know, my parents gave to me, you know, to say, check in with yourself. And then, you know, we work together. Really, in a collaborative way to see what's going on and where the opportunities for growth and development are going to be. So it's kind of, you know, sometimes then, like, a couple of my private clients right now took a class with me for 6 weeks where we actually went through these different areas that I work with when I do the individual coaching. And then, you know, they became private clients. So, you know, the way people kind of get to know what I'm doing is sometimes incrementally, or maybe, you know, it might work the other way. I've had people who were private clients and then they wanted to take a class because they wanted to be able to, you know, be more intuitive and grounded themselves. So, it, you know, people can get into the, you know, loop at any point. But, you know, a lot of times I'll meet people who are just sort of, they're almost on a whim. Like, two of my private clients currently were just at an intuitive fair almost on a whim. And then they got hooked. Yeah, they got hooked, you know. And so now they're really, you know, they just want more and more, which, you know, makes me really excited because, you know, that feels validating of me, but it's also exciting for them. They took a class, it was two sisters, and they took a class where they were doing intuitive readings for each other, and they feel closer now than they have in years. They shared with me that this has really brought them together. So, you know, that was, you know, that's rewarding for me too, to hear that, you know, an experience that they're sharing is giving, you know, more depth to their connection. So that's cool.
Yeah,
okay. So do you think Susan is in?
Well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to open up her microphone.
Okay.
And I'm going to tell you the question that she did ask is, what is the relationship between mind, body, and spirit? That's what she wanted to know. I'm going to close Susan's microphone because it's making too much noise. But her question is, what is the relationship between mind, body, and spirit? Which I think is a really good question because to me it seems self-evident. And I love questions like that because it brings me back to really think about it.
Right. Well, let me just say that it's only been like in the recent, I'm not exactly sure when this happened, but it's within the last 1,000 years that expert healers even divided the body out. Okay. In prior times, you know, the healers and the guides and the helpers in societies saw mind, body, spirit as one thing. And I believe it was, you know, I wish I really should get my story straight on this, but basically at a certain point in history, there was a deal made and the church got the spirit and science got the body because there were some conflicting things going on in terms of, you know, science-oriented people were saying things that felt heretical to the church powers and they did not like that. So it's really only been a short time in our history as human beings that we even divided our concept of body, mind, spirit into separate things. And essentially, there is, if we think about the universe from a position of physics, everything is happening at the level of energy. And it's all, you know, really tiny little particles. And there's really space in everything. And, you know, we know this, you know, at the level of quantum physics. So when you're talking about body, mind, spirit, you're getting to subtler and subtler levels of energy. So when you, there's something called a torus field, which is sort of like the energetic field that all living things are in. And it sort of comes out the top of the head, and then it goes around like a semicircle, and then you connect in again at the feet. So when you're coming from your heart center and you're relaxed or your brain is in theta, you can tap into this energetic torus field. But if you're, all your energy is just in your head, then you get disconnected from that. So in a way, in Western culture, and since this science got the body and church got the spirit deal was made, we have gotten more and more in the habit of worshiping data. Like there was a confusion between wisdom and data or information. So we disconnected from different ways of knowing that are natural to human beings. You know, the intuition and instinct, and if we have any kind of soul memory, which it feels like a lot of people do have some sort of soul memory, that all got like cut away, which was very unhealthy, both for us as individuals and for the planet. So, you know, what you see happening now with all the different energy healing modalities and even just holistic health, just the alternative health thing, which is absolutely giant now, is a reintegration of saying, no, you know, my body and the way my body functions supports my spirituality. So it's all integrated at, you know, different levels. You know, happiness, when you, I think it's D-O-S-E, dopamine, oxytocin, serotonin, and endorphins. You know, those different chemicals that make you feel good, that are part of your hormonal system, are connected to higher states of consciousness or joy states. So we really cannot be cutting these different parts of us into distinct entities as if there's an edge between one and the next. It's just not even true at the level of basic science. And now that we have, you know, all this really cool scientific equipment, and we can look at, like, you know, what part of the brain lights up when, you know, people think different thoughts or when they're meditating, we have the science to be able to document what the wisdom traditions have known for thousands and thousands of years. So I hope that answers Susan's question. You know, what is the difference?
Yeah, I think it does. But just quickly, you said there was a deal made. What kind?
Because
it sounds it was a deal made in hell. So who would have made that?
Yeah, I think it was. I want to say Copernicus. I mean, I'm really not.
Not sure. Okay.
So I don't have the science really good, but it was basically the science. People of the day were getting in trouble with the church at the time. Let's see if we can even just, maybe I can find it.
No,
yeah,
it's okay.
It was,
it's not that important.
Okay.
I have something much more important that I want to ask you, and we're running out of time.
Okay.
So I'm going to ask you for Susan, because I know. What would you suggest would be the best way to deal with depression?
Yeah, that's not like a one thing answer, but those chemicals that I was just talking about, that DOSE, you know, dopamine, oxytocin, serotonin, endorphins. I like to sometimes just speak from my own experience. Okay, so here I would say, I tell people that I suffer from what I would call melancholy. I wouldn't go as far as to say depression, but on an average day, I have to work to get like my energy really moving. I don't spring out of bed with positive enthusiasm. even after, you know, all these years of spiritual practice, et cetera, because my basic chi, my basic energy just isn't wired that way. And so I do a body, mind, spirit lifestyle. You know, I choose to try to eat healthy food. I exercise. I meditate. And frankly, having engaging work and creative outlets is a big part of how I build chi or positive energy into my life. And I knew very early that doing something meaningful with my workday was something I wanted. And I was able to identify that that was probably a big part of what would make my life good. How did I figure that out early? I do not know. But I will tell you that there were many days in my life that if I didn't know that I used to do home visits back in the day when I worked for human service agencies, and I'd be like, okay, I'm going to go see Mary Jo and, you know, Sally today, and they need this and they need that. That's what got my butt up out of bed. You know, if I had not had something to do that particular day that meant something to me, I don't know if I would have had, you know, as good a life as I have had, you know, because I might have been tempted to be an Eeyore all day or part of the day, at least. You know, it might have been very late in the day if I didn't have an agenda for myself. And it's interesting because I was on a radio show recently and they asked me, you know, it was about entrepreneurial women that could be experiencing depression or anxiety. And part of what I do is I'm always throwing out my fishing line. I create things in the future to look forward to. And, you know, if I start to look ahead on my schedule and I don't see things out there that I'm excited about or engaged in, I cook them up. That's how I do it.
So basically you're saying find something that you would love to do that would make you feel good and look forward to it and do something physically with your body part to go towards that thing. Like, let's say you find some girl named Holly that you want to make her smile this week, and that's your goal. Literally take a step towards doing that. And that would, and because you know when she smiles, you're going to feel really good. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. And, you know, this fall I ended up helping a family. Someone showed up at my door in need, and I was really needing to focus on my business development, but the universe gave me a task. So be looking for what comes to you. You know, sometimes the universe is asking us to do something to help someone. So keep your eyes open and see what's coming to you too. So they're seeking out and watching to see what comes, what just shows up.
I see.
I think it feels like a giant mandala to me, like a giant moving mandala where different parts are supposed to be, that's going a bit far, but just drawn to, attracted to other parts, and they play a role. And, you know, that to me is what makes it really beautiful. That's what makes life beautiful, is to sort of see how those parts are falling into place. And, you know, it's not necessarily Kristen, I, personality, causing that to occur. I'm just sort of showing up and putting my willingness into it.
I think that's beautiful. I think that's really, really beautiful what you said. And with that in mind, we are running out of time. So I wanted to just reiterate, you said chi means positive energy. And I always hear chi here, chi there. And I never really knew exactly what he meant. I knew he meant something positive, but I didn't know exactly what it was. So thank you for clarifying that. That's really good. And I love
that's the life force. Chi is what animates us.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know that. And I love that. And I love to end this with a positive note, saying that doing something that means something to you could actually take you from being depressed to another state of mind that is a lot more powerful than being depressed. So basically coming out of your own self and your own life and your own needs and looking to how can I be of service to somewhere outside of myself. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely.
Well, that's
while you get enough rest and eat good food and do the basics to keep yourself okay.
Wonderful. So yeah, Susan said
all
that
balance.
Was good. That was good information for her, and it does definitely help her. So that's really good. So we did pick up on that energy, and we did good on that. Kristen, it's been really wonderful listening to you, and I definitely can talk to you for another 10 hours because there's so much more that I want to know. But we are out of time for today. So for today, I think people got definitely an earful and a lot of stuff that they can take and really put into practicality. If people want to get a hold of you or want to hear more from you personally, where do they go?
The easiest two ways to find me are, it's my name, Kristen Geeslin, KristinGeeslinMS on my Facebook page, and KristinGeeslin2@gmail.com.
Okay. The number two or
yeah, the number two. Kristen Geeslin, number two. And it's and my first name is spelled Kristin.
Oh, I spelled it wrong. Okay.
It's okay. It's all right. I'll spell it out. KristinGeeslin, G like girl, E, S like Sam, LIN. So Kristen Geeslin MS is my Facebook page, and Kristen Geeslin number2@gmail.com is my email address.
So Kristen is Kristin, and it's two I's, and that's how I'll remember it. You're Kristen with the two I's, because the other ones are Kristen with
since
one
I'm a seer, I have two I's, right? There we go.
Yeah, we have two I's, and you also have a third I on your last name. How about that?
That's right. And that was what I used for the announcement today on my Facebook page was the third eye. It said
wow.
Talk show and had a third eye on it.
Wow, that's awesome. See, so now we are totally in sync from here to social media to hopefully everywhere outside of here. We send out that energy of two eyes, and the third eye is, I think, where you should tap into, especially to be able to handle this whole crisis situation in a much more powerful way and come out better on the other side of it.
Absolutely. And just for your friend, for Susie, I have the creativity card came out for her. So I don't know if she does art or music or that kind of creativity, but that is being suggested, creativity.
So go tackle, she said, yes. Go tackle your creative self. Do something creative and maybe within that creativity, make it something that will really satisfy you by helping somebody else. Maybe create something to make somebody else happy or maybe create something together with someone else. Do a project, doing something together.
Yeah.
That might be really good too. Wonderful. Thank you so much, Kristen. And thank you so much for joining us today here on Tippy Talk. We have really, really enjoyed having you. Really enjoyed having you. And thank you, Susan, also for joining us. We have come to the end of our time together here on Tippy Talk. We do wish you a magical journey and let your talent be your potion. This is
there we go. Peace.
Yes. Yes, Kristen.
Peace and happy. Peace and happy.
Peace and happy. Exactly.
Been running through me like you got somewhere to be. You're stuck in a full-time daydream, always in a rush. I know you're busy for lunch, taking pictures of your coffee. got a phone in your